All right, I'm going to ask you to take your Bible this morning, go to Psalms chapter 133 while you stand to your feet. Psalms chapter 133, while you stand to your feet. I want to start a series of messages. While you're looking for that, I'm going to tell you some things here. I want to start a series of messages on when you get against me and I get against you. And as I studied this, I was going to start in the book of Exodus and Numbers. And look at when the people got against Moses, and then I was going to go tonight and over in the book of 1 John when Diotrephes was against those of the church. But as I began to look at that, I thought, you know, as we do this, and the Lord began to speak to my heart, when I say you against me and me against you, me is the pastor and you is the church. If I'm against you or you're against me, we're in pretty bad shape. We're not going to go anywhere. It's going to be a constant battle, and I'm going to have constant battles in my mind, and you're going to have constant battles in your mind. Is he after me or is she after me? And sometimes church people get against church people, and I'm going to deal with that too while I'm preaching. But as I looked at this, I began to think about that I was going to have to deal with my position as the pastor and your position as a church member. They are two different things, even though I am a church member. I get to wear two hats. Amen. I am just a church member here also. And I do care about the church this morning. So you pray for me while I preach. But look in Psalms chapter 133. Look what your Bible says in verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. You can be seated this morning. As we look, as Brother Ralph and Brother Caldwell has preached this past week, one thing that I have understood and know that we're not going to go anywhere as a church unless we're unified behind what we're doing. And by the way, we need to unify. Being in unity literally means to be in a state of oneness or in uniformity or in agreement. It means to be on the same page as each other. Now let me say today that when I'm talking about being on the same page or being in agreement, we're being in agreement around God's Word and what He wants us to do as a church. There's a lot of ecumenicalism, and boy, I said that word right, amen. There's a lot of ecumenicalism, and what that is putting different denominations together for the sake of unity. That's not unity, friend. They're not unifying around the same thing. We need to unify, and that around Him and His Word. But notice what He said right here, that it was good and pleasant. It's a good thing. And it's not only a good, do you not like pleasant things? At least I like pleasant music. I like pleasant scenery. I just like pleasant talk. I do. I mean, I like pleasant things. Those things that are pleasing. And He says it's good and pleasant for who? For the brethren. The saved folk. He said it's good for the brethren to do what? Now, I never really paid attention to this till I studied this. And notice what it said, to dwell. To dwell together in unity. You know what that word dwell means? It means to abide as a permanent resident, but it also means to continue or to continue long. He said it is good and pleasant when the brethren can continue long in unity. When they can get along with each other. Are y'all with me this morning? Preacher always told me one time the hardest meeting of any revival is the Sunday afterwards. Amen. But it's good for me and you to dwell together in unity. He even gives us two examples. He says it's like that precious ointment that was poured upon the head of Aaron, and it run down across his beard, and it run down to the bottom of his garments, the skirts of his garments. It engulfed him. And listen, this was precious ointment, an anointing oil that God had said that I'm choosing him for this job. And he said it's precious, and it covered him. It's kind of like the dew of Mount Hermon and Mount Zion. Not only did it cover the mountain, and it was beautiful to look at, and it glistened just like the oil did that ran upon Aaron. When a church dwells together in unity, we glisten, we shine for the Lord Jesus Christ, and folk begin to take notice. Amen. And so it's pleasant. And not only is it pleasant, and not only is it precious, and not only do we shine, but notice right here that dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion and upon Mount Hermon, it is what gave life unto those mountains right there. You know what gives life to a church? Not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but when they can dwell together in unity and that around Him, we can get something done. Amen. But we're going to have to be unified in it. We're going to have to be unified in what we set out to do and that to please the Lord and to do for God. And this message will go so much deeper than what I'm probably going to preach. But I want to start this morning on, if I'm against you and you're against me, we're not going to go anywhere. And so I want to look at my position, my job as the pastor this morning. And by the way, I'm a church member, and to see what happens. And we'll look more tonight about what happens and what can happen if you get against me. And then next week we'll look what happens when I get against you. I don't ever want it to be that way. The job of the pastor, let me say this, that first of all, God gave pastors and that to the church. Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said, and he gave some, talking about the apostles, and some, talking about gifts to the church, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And by the way, through your King James Bible, the word pastor is interchangeable with the word elder at times and the word bishop. The word pastor literally means a shepherd or one who cares for the flock. You'd agree with that, wouldn't you? The Bible compares us to sheep so many times. Friend, and you know what? Sheep have a tendency to go astray. I remember listening to Mace Jackson preach one time. He said you could take a sheep and put him from here down there to the end of the road and he can't find his way back. You can take an old alley cat and take him over to the middle of Athens over there and he'll beat you back. Amen. Sheep are kind of dumb, ain't they? You ever been around them? I've never really been around them. I've watched some of them at times. And you know that sheep will fight among themselves, and they really don't know what to do sometimes. And they've got to be like, you know, Christ was called what? He was called the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. So it kind of gives you an idea what a bishop is. He's not only the shepherd, but he's also the overseer. That's what that word means. When Paul talks about, I'm going to get there in a minute, but when he talks about how the man that desires the office of a bishop, he's talking about a pastor right there. He's talking about the overseer, the spiritual overseer, and that of the church. I'm the under-shepherd. Can I say it that way? Now, some of y'all ain't going to like some things I've got to say today, and that's all right. I know what the Bible says. Acts 20, Paul said this, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. I can't argue with that. To feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. I mean, somebody's got to be in charge, friend, when it comes to this book right here. I mean, if I'm not, you know what I've learned over the years and growing up in church? If the pastor ain't in charge, somebody will be. I'm not telling you I'm your boss. I'm not telling you I'm your mom and daddy and I can twist your ear and make you do something. Got to do that sometimes, don't you, Jeremiah? Them boys, don't you? You got to twist on them ears. It's not that way. And I'm going to deal with that too. But I am the overseer. I am that of this local assembly. Then he talks about an elder. And by the way, when I looked that up in Webster's 1828 dictionary, and I didn't look it up in the physical dictionary for a little bit, and Brother Jeff will get a kick out of this. I opened it up, or I was on my computer, and I typed in elder under the Webster's 1820 dictionary, and it said a species of duck. I said, is there an elder duck? And so I got to looking about that, and I believe it's supposed to be eider, E-I-D-E-R. They had miswrote it in that portion of the computer program. So I reached over on my shelf and pulled out the big, thick 1828 dictionary and folded her open. Here's what it said about an elder. It's one that is older or a senior or living longer. That's what an elder is. But it's one that in their length of time has got wisdom and experience. You know what the Bible says over there about the bishop, and he talks about this, that they are what? That they're not to be novices. They're not to be novices. They're supposed to have, you know, novices don't know a whole lot, do they? There's nothing wrong with being a novice when you're a novice. That means you're not good at it. That means you're barely skilled in it. That means you're not trained in it. So my job as the pastor is to be a shepherd and an overseer, but I'm also to have a little bit of wisdom, hopefully a whole lot of wisdom, and some experience behind me. Paul put it like this in Titus. He said, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. Remember, I told you can use them interchangeably. 1 Timothy 5, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. And can I tell you that we do need elder people. And I say that very respectfully to teach younger people. We need folk around here that's got a little age and a little white in their hair. Sometimes a lot of white in their hair. Depends if you want to color it or not. Young life, it's okay. It's okay. Have a sense of humor. It's all right. It's all right. I remember when I used to want to get white hair to make me look older, and then I got it. Now I'm trying to figure out how to get rid of it. Amen. I don't know if Marvin colors his hair or not. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, that stuff's just as black can be. He's going to have to teach me how he does that. But listen, we need some folks that's got some experience and some wisdom behind them, not only to help these folks sitting on the pew, but sometimes to help me. Sometimes I need some help along this way. Sometimes I need some direction. I'm going to go to that book, and I'm going to get in my study, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to gather up this altar and pray, and I'm going to try to find wisdom of God. But sometimes you just need some help. Amen. And a lot of us don't like to admit that. I think in the past 5, 6, 7 years, I've learned more about how to admit that I need some help along this way than I ever have. And sometimes we just need help. I want to look at my job as the pastor. First of all, number one, the position of the pastor. Now, I'm talking about the job itself, not the man. I'm going to deal with the person here in a minute, but the position of the pastor. And by the way, as I was going back through this, I look back through my outlines from years ago. I come in here in January of 2002 is when I come to pastor. And I was going back through some of my old messages and looking just to refresh some things and look at some things that I'd done over the years. And I found one that I'd done in 2001 before I ever started pastor. I looked at that and I looked at that outline and I thought, I bet I was done and I preached that on the radio. And I was going to tell people that, I mean, I had never pastored a church in my life. And I guarantee you, I got on the radio and told them how to do it. Amen. Young life right there, I did. It's all right. I called Brother Caldwell on the way to my grandma's. I said, you want to know what your dumb pastor done one time? I'm learning more and more all the time that sometimes I don't know as much as I think I do. But boy, the Lord sure does help us, don't he? But the position of the pastor. Now, I want you to understand this is because it's an important position. But if you take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to go there with me. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We begin to find the qualifications of the pastor. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and as we look in verse 1, the Bible says this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Now, I want you to notice that, first of all, this is an office in the local New Testament church. Churches need pastors. It's just like sheep need shepherd, children need parents, and churches need pastors. Because you need somebody not only to preach to you, but you need somebody in that to care for you and help you. You need somebody to have a little wisdom and that along the way. Now notice he said right here that it is an office. The church needs a pastor. I don't know any other way to say that. There's a lot of churches out there when their pastor leaves, they want to go for a while without having one. They just want to call an evangelist in all the time, or they just want to call in this one or that one. I'm going to tell you, if you ain't careful, if you'll watch a sheep without a shepherd, they'll begin to scatter along the way. Let me just stop right here. Just let me stop. I am not against you. I want you to understand that. While I'm preaching, I'm not against you. Some of y'all think I am, but I'm not. Because of the way I preach, the way Brother Ralph preached, and the way Brother Caldwell preached, some of you may think that they were against you. They weren't against you. And I'm not against you. I preach the way I preach because I'm for you. Amen. I mean, I am for you. I preach against sin. I preach against how you need to run your home. Not against how you need to run your home, but for running your home. And how we need to do things in the church and how we need to live for Christ. I do that because I love you. If I didn't love you, I'd just get up here and tell you that you're doing good. I go on the way you're doing and let you go live any other way you want to. I want you to get that this morning as I preach. I'm not against you. If you're sinning, I'm against your sin. I am, and I'm not letting up on that either, by the way. And that's why you think I'm against you. But the office of a pastor, notice he said right here that he is one to be desired. The man who's going to be the pastor needs to desire that position. And let me say this, that there's a lot of men desire the position, but they really don't understand the position. They think that you just preach on Sunday and Wednesday and that's it. I remember when Sister Beverly was having her gallbladder out up in the hospital, and Brother Jeff and Miss Bethany went back to see her, and they left me out there to watch Zeke, and he'd struck up a friendship there with, I don't remember if it was a little girl over there, I can't remember, but I was sitting out there watching him and was over here doing something else by myself, and he finally hollered at me and said, "Preacher," he said, "you preach on Sundays and Wednesdays, what else do you do?" He just thought pastoring was just a Sunday and Wednesday job, you know. And that's the way a lot of preachers want it. They just want a Sunday and a Wednesday job. And then they sometimes will just delegate off Wednesday night if he ain't careful. And let me say this, that being a pastor goes far more than just standing behind this pulpit. Preaching is a great position of that job, but it goes far more than just that. Notice it said that it is one that should be desired. When you begin to see that what it takes, and that in the office of a pastor, I mean, there's a lot to it. There is preaching. Amen. I think I ought to be able to preach, don't you? I think I ought to have some preach in me. I think I ought to preach. I think I ought to be good at it. You think I ought to be good at preaching? I think I ought to be good at preaching. I think that you should be able to come in if you're living right and that to enjoy my preaching. If you ain't living right, you shouldn't enjoy my preaching. It ought to bother you. It ought to convict you. Listen, I think God's people ought to like preaching. Amen. You say, "Well, I don't like the way preach." I'm like Brother Ralph. I like all kinds of it. His own sin in the book. Now, I will be honest with you. Sometimes monotone preachers are hard to deal with. I mean, they really are. And some of them, and I know that I have my cadence and the way that I do things and the way that I understand that. I make fun of myself when I listen to myself back on CD sometimes. I do. I mean, you dummy say stuff like that right there and act like, you know. I mean, but we all got our way of doing things. And if it's good Bible preaching, you ought to enjoy it today. My position, you know, what did he tell? If you go on over, he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. What was it? He said, preach the word. He said, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itch in the ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. You know, he's the pastor at Ephesus. Timothy is. Do you know that? He's the pastor. He said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. So there's going to be afflictions come in your position. Do the work of an evangelist. Some people think that's just preaching revival. And make full proof of thy ministry. The evangelist is to win souls. That may be preaching revival, but the evangelist is to win souls, to be the soul winner. And he said, you need to do the work of an evangelist. But he said, you're to preach. He said, you're to preach the word of God. If I ever fail to preach the word of God, you all, as this church, need to do something about it. But as long as I'm preaching the word of God in the spirit of love, you all ought to take it. Amen. Amen. Can I say something? If I preach on your sin, do one of two things. Either get right or get some thick skin. But don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. I've known people to get mad at me because I've preached on their sin. I've preached against what they're doing. I didn't know they were doing it. Boy, God sure did. Yeah, Brother Fred Wilson always says, you don't get mad at the mailman. You don't fall rock at the mailman when he brings you the bill. I mean, you spent the money on your credit card and the mailman's bringing you the bill. Amen. I'm talking about the position. The position of the pastor is to preach. Hey, I'm to preach what Jesus done for us at Calvary. Paul said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Boy, I'm to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never know who's sitting where you are when you're preaching. Never know who might be lost and might need to know what Jesus done at Calvary. Might need to tell them. You know, boys, I've told you all the time, don't venture far from the cross while you're preaching. Stay there. I mean, hang around it for a little while. I mean, and tell folk what Christ done for you and done for them that they can get saved. I mean, hey, preach the word. Tell folk that Jesus loved. I love that first song that we sang. I appreciate that, brother. What we sung very first song this morning before Sunday school, Jesus loves me. Love that old song. And I wanted to testify about that song when he got done. And Brother Jeff just testified about what I was going to say. I thought, well, that's pretty good. I'll just sit here and be quiet. Amen. But I ought to be preaching on sound doctrine. You know, after you get saved, you need sound doctrine in your life. You need good Bible sound doctrine in how to run your life, how to run your home, how to raise your family, how to treat your children, how to treat your husband and wife, how to be faithful to church, what to do in church. You know something I picked up on while Brother Ralph was preaching? You know, I picked up on a lot of things, believe it or not. I love to get preached to. I do, brother. I mean, I love to get preached to. And while he was preaching, he said something about that fellow that had got saved in his church and was green. You remember that? And he said he was so green, he didn't know a whole lot about being saved. But he wanted to go knock on every door in Smith County and try to win folk to Christ. There's a couple of things about that. You remember what Brother Ralph said about that? He said we didn't have nothing come out of that as far as those people show up. But he said because we'd done that, God just began to bless us with other people. I've seen that here. I think we've proved that here. Every time we go knock on doors and visit, those people may not come, but God always has a way of sending people. He always has. But he said something about that old boy that was green. He said, I told him if he'd get it together and do it right, we'd go do it. What are you talking about? You know, Brother Ralph didn't get it together. He let that old boy that was green get it together. He put somebody else in charge of it to do it. Let me ask you this. If I put you in charge or asked you to do something, would you? If you come, you know, it's one thing I learned a long time ago. If somebody says, boy, preacher, we ought to be doing this, the first thing you need to say is, all right, you're in charge of it. Amen. I told my wife going home, I said, part of the reason we struggle with that around here is it's my fault. Comes over from the days of when there wasn't many here, and we if nobody wanted to do anything, nobody could do anything. I believe we're at the point right now to where we can do something if we would just take the time and the energy and listen, put everything else on the back burner. I don't know how I got there, but it's good this morning. Listen, but you need sound doctrine. You need the Bible. You need this book. You need to hear about your... You realize that's my position, is to get out and preach about Jesus. It is to preach sound doctrine. I am to train others that you can train others also. And I am to preach against your sin. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. And show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. I'm to preach against sin. We want to hear about Jesus. We love sound doctrine as long as it fits into our box. But boy, when the preacher starts out on sin, now we're in trouble. Most of us don't like to have our sin preached on. You know how I know that? Because Brother Ralph, he was preaching on sin this past week also. I told him we went out to eat. Friday. That's my wife there. And so we were sitting there eating. And I told him, I said, preacher, I said, I've learned something about myself in the past year. I said, I have learned that I am a stressful eater and I am a bored eater. If I'm bored, I'm liable to find myself in the kitchen with a bag of tater chips. And if I'm stressed out, I'll go find food. Food is a very great comfort. Now, I know that, so you got to change things. And he looked at me and he said, brother, I promise you, I already knew what I was preaching on before we had this conversation. And then, you know, he comes in here and preaches on what you're eating, you know, stuff like that on Friday night. Sin. Brother Jeff talked about it this morning. You know, talked about all those dainties. Food ain't a sin, it's when we use it to me. Anyway, let me move on. Sin. My job is to preach on sin. My job is to feed and nourish this church. What he said, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. To what? To feed the church of God. 1 Peter 5, he said, feed the flock of God which is among you. To feed you. You ever heard that old saying that they're biting the hand that's feeding them? When you get against me, if I'm doing my job and I'm loving on you and because I'm preaching on your sin and you're bucking up on things, one, we're not dwelling together. And you remember how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. You ever heard that old saying, biting a hand that's feeding them? Sometimes that happens to people. Sometimes that happens to preachers. He said, feed the flock of God which is among you. He said, feed the church with its purchase with his own blood. Surely to goodness, over the past 20 years, surely you've come in here a time or two and got what you needed. Not what you wanted all the time. I remember growing up, man, I asked Mama one day, I said, Mama, why did you fix so much pinto beans and cornbread? I mean, that's what we grew up on. And listen, Daddy had a good job. We didn't have to eat pinto beans and cornbread. A lot of people ate it because that's all they could afford. My Daddy ate it because that's what he liked. And that's what she told me. She said, that's what your daddy liked, so that's what I cooked, was pinto beans and cornbread. But I'd go to the table, and I may not always like it, but I sure do remember eating it. And you know what I've learned to do, Brother Jeff? Now I like pinto beans and cornbread. I do. You know what? If you'll fall in love with this book, Brother Jeff, we sung that in the choir, Wonderful Words of Life. If you'll fall in love with this book and the God of this book, you'll love what's set before you, even if you don't like it sometimes. I've yet to learn to like green peas, but I sure have learned to like greens. I'll even eat a little bit of cooked cabbage every now and again. I'm just saying, some things that you don't like, you have to eat it because it's good for you. Can I tell you that I'm talking about my position. The position of the pastor of this church is to feed you and care for you, to nourish you, to watch over you, to tell you when, and listen, you think that I'm peeking in your windows and I'm picking on you. I'm not doing that. I want you to understand that. I'm trying to pray, seek God. If you don't believe me, ask that woman right over there. I mean, she sees it. I've got a good wife. I mean, I'll be honest with you, church. I've got a good wife in Miss Kelly. There's been times she knows that I've needed to go to the study, and I was sitting in there watching something on TV that maybe I wanted to watch, or I was stalling not to go to the study. And she'd say, "I'm fixing to turn this TV off, so you'll go on." She understood and understands the importance of what it is for me to go to that study. And for me to pray and to get something that you need and that I need to stand where I'm standing this morning. And to make decisions. There's been decisions that I've had to make in this church that I wished I hadn't had to make. It's easy to make good decisions. We want to remodel the church. We made that decision in 2014. That was a good decision to make. We want to remodel the church, you know. Sure, we want to remodel church. We want to go on visitation. Sure, we want to go on visitation. You got to go talk to somebody about the way they're acting at church and acting toward somebody else. That's not something I want to go talk about. But it's still my job. But I'm to guard and protect this church. I'm to guard and protect this church against false doctrine slipping in. I'm to guard and protect this church against the lack of unity. If I see something slipping somewhere, if I see that, you know why I'm preaching on this morning? One, I believe that's why. The Lord really bothered me with this message. He really did. I'm to guard and protect. What was it? He said, obey them to have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. If I'm doing my job, I'm watching for your soul. I don't believe every pastor watches for the souls of their people, but I'm telling you right now, I'm struggling and trying my best to do that. I meant to ask Brother Ralph, and he kind of answered it in revival. Now he runs about 300 in his church. That's what they run. And I know how long it takes me to just pray for you all. And I wanted to know how long it took him to pray for all his people. And he kind of answered that while he was praying. He told us about how long he spends in prayer. See, not all my job is done where I'm standing at. You all get that, don't you? Now there's times that, and these men around here can tell you, I mean there's times that I come in here and I think I've got the message and I hope I've got the message, and then I'll be sitting right there, or I may be down there or go down to a Sunday school room somewhere and pray, and God may give me something different. That don't happen a whole lot, but it does happen from time to time. I believe if I get in my study and pray and seek God, He'll give me what you need. But I'm to guard and to protect. I'm to guard and to protect false doctrine coming in. I'm to guard and protect for the lack of unity. Try to keep us unified around Him. I'm to oversee what's going on. Again, we go back to what He said. You know, the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. He said in the book of 1 Peter 5, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready man. Neither being lords over God's heritage, but as examples, but being examples unto the flock. I'm not to strong arm you into doing anything. If we're going to go on visitation, then I ought to be the first one here ready to go, ready to knock on the door. I ought to be here ready to do it. If we're going to have vacation Bible school, I ought to be here ready for vacation Bible school. Let's get her done. Brother Larry Seals, before he had Rhett and had a kid, he'd say when he was pastoring. Now, you're about to understand why he don't pastor a church, okay? I'm about to tell you why now. He would tell them, when he's pastoring that little job, he'd say, if you all want to have vacation Bible school, y'all help yourself. I'm going fishing. I'm not telling you anything that he hadn't said, okay? And I would tell him, I'll send him a CD of it, let him hear that I said it, amen? But that's what he would tell him. Y'all go help yourself. I'm going fishing. And you wonder sometimes why he didn't make it pastoring, amen? I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm not being ugly. I'm being a little funny right now. And he'd tell you the same thing. But I ought to be the first one right here. Ready to go, ready to lead by example. Right? Are y'all with me today? Amen. All right, just making sure. But the position of the pastor, there's probably more to it than that. But then the person of the pastor, the man himself, and who he's supposed to be. Now, you've got an imperfect man trying to do a perfect job. But you've got an imperfect man striving to be perfect. And I'm perfect in Christ. And I've got my problems, don't you misunderstand me? And I've got to fight my problems sometimes in my flesh and my temper and my anger and all these things. And I've got to work on that. But can I tell you, the person of the pastor, he shouldn't be lazy, should he? You know that I have to fight laziness. Because if I get lazy, then I get careless. And if I get careless, then I'm not going to care if I come in here on Sunday or Wednesday and give you. I've never forgot what Brother Jim Henry used to tell me. Brother Jim was just an old preacher, and he'd say, "Son, don't be shaking no dry feed bag at them tonight. Be ready to go. Give them something that the Lord's give you." Hey, I shouldn't be lazy in the Word of God. I shouldn't be lazy to read my Bible and give you what God's gave me. That's why he told me, "I to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I am to read and study and pray over this book right here. What was it that he said? "Let the elders that rule be counted worthy of double honor, especially those that labor in word and doctrine." On occasion, this works, but a lot of preachers, they get up, read a scripture, and take a fit. And I like old-time preaching like that from time to time, especially when God gets in it. But them boys ain't cracked their book all week and come to church, and 30 minutes before they get up, crack that book open and begin to try to get something from God, ain't going to work, man. It just ain't going to work. I mean, I've been known to crack that book open and read some scripture and just take a fit, but I guarantee you that it comes out from past study and past times of being in that book. I ain't lifting myself up. I'm telling you what I do as your pastor. I shouldn't be lazy in the Word. Shouldn't be lazy in the work, should I? Shouldn't be lazy to work. Do you know why I still do physical work? Do you know why I still go do some electrical work along the way and things like that? I have to. You know, Brother Ralph talked about mowing all that stuff. You know, I got to get my mind in a place to where I can actually think. Where I can actually think about some things. But the work of the ministry. You remember what I told you? My job is just not standing right here. There is far more. See, I ought to care so much for you that I ought to come and minister to your needs. I know what the position of a deacon is. I understand that. But I'm not preaching on that today. I'm preaching on my position. I know that the deacon's position is a position of being a servant. I know that. And remember, that's what they chose them seven men for over there in the book of Acts. What was it? So that they could give themselves to the Word of God in prayer. Ain't that what Peter said over there? My job is to give myself to the Word of God in prayer. But it's also in that to minister to your need. And remember, I told you that I was also a church member. Are we not to serve one another in love? Am I not to practice what I preach? Am I not to live by what I tell you here? I mean, Timothy, he said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. He said, Timothy, you're to be an example. When people look at you, they're supposed to say, right there is who we're supposed to be like. Right there, you remember what Paul said at one time? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's a pretty big statement. That's almost arrogant, ain't it? But that's what Paul said. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Hebrews chapter 13, he said, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Considering the end of their conversation. He said, look at how they're living. Look at the faith that they have. Look at the faith that they're serving in. And then he said, considering the end of their conversation. The word conversation means their deportment, their lifestyle, how they're carrying themselves. And he's talking about the one that had the rule over them, the overseer. He's talking about their pastor. He said, watch him and see how he's doing it. And he said this right here. He said, who have spoken unto you the word of God? He said, if they give you the word of God, you watch them and see how they're living. I ain't always had it figured out, and I ain't always done it the best. And this has been a growing process, even for your preacher. Well, the day I figured that out, man, what a great day for me. What do you mean, a great day for you? It really bothered me that I didn't know some things. Let me see how I can put this. And I may have told y'all this. I asked the Lord one day. I got frustrated with it. It took me so long to learn some things and figure some things out. And Lord, why didn't I know this way back here? And you know, he took me over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. And he said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may do what? Grow thereby. It's still a growing process. Still a growing process. Some are just grown more than others. Are you still with me? All right. Stay with me. I'm going to get her done. I'm going to get her done just right here in a minute. I ought to be living for the Lord. He told Timothy, he said, showing thyself a pattern of good works. He said that those that are the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now, I'm talking about my person. I ought to love people, shouldn't I? You ever seen a pastor just didn't love people? Man, that just didn't work out real good, did it? I mean, a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior. And then he said this, given to hospitality. Titus chapter 1, he said, when he was talking about the bishop, he said, but a lover of hospitality and a lover of good men. Or to just love people. I'm telling you, I learned a lot in revival about loving people. Having the care for people that you ought to have. Or to win people. Or to strive to win people to the Lord. He said, holding fast the faithful word that he'd been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. Or to be able to convince folk that don't know Christ to get them to get saved. The person of the pastor. There's a payment coming one day for me. I'm not going to deal with that. There's a payment in heaven. There's a crown in heaven if I've done my job. There's a payment that the church gives me. Y'all do a good job at that. I hope you all are praying for me. Because that's the last point. I can pray for me all that I can, but sometimes I need you to pray for me. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, Paul said this, brethren, pray for us. Brother Caldwell sent me a picture the other day, and he said, preacher, he said, I thought this might help you a little bit. He said, this is in our preteen Sunday school class. And they have whiteboards like we do. And same way that you all do down there in your all Sunday school class. on the board on one side is the prayer request. And on the very top of one of the prayer request sides, on the very top, it says Brother Mark and Miss Kelly. They're praying for us. I'll get a text out of blue from a preacher I ain't heard in a while, and it'll say, Brother Latham, I have prayed earnestly for you today. Well, you're talking about lighting you on fire to know that somebody took a little time to pray for you. My prayer life ought to be good, shouldn't it? You say, well, it ought to be better than mine. Maybe it should be better than yours, but yours ought to be good. You ought to have a good prayer life. Well, the reason I wanted to preach this morning, not only because God wanted me to, and I really believe that, was I don't want you to think that because I'm in this position that I think I'm better than you, or any of those things. But my position is to feed you and get you to heed the Word of God and be warned about what might be going on in your life that don't need to be there. And it's to help you. And it's to oversee this church and get us headed in the right direction. As much as some people ain't going to like what I'm about to say, but God does use me to guide this church as long as I'm following Him. He will use me. And that's a pretty big statement right there. And I still scratch my head sometimes and say, Lord, how and why did you put me here? I mean, I know me. I know how I am. I know my faults. I know my problems. And you're going to use me? Sometimes I wonder about that sometimes. Lord, what do you have in mind here? I'm not against you, but I am watching out for this church, and I am watching out for you and your family. Let's bow our heads this morning.